Jeremiah chapter 18. We'll look back at this thought. The potter knows the clay. Anytime I study on something like this, I get to thinking, well, people have heard this type of subject so much, they may, when you hear it announced, you think, oh no, I've heard that so much, but it's on my heart. The Lord's directed me toward it. And for certain, I believe that's what we need for these days. And verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my word. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. We looked last week at this thought. I want to try to delve back into it again tonight. Look in verse 3. Notice what it says. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. He is referred to as a work. Now we understand what he's talking about. He's talking about working with clay. But he is in this word work implies it's in the process. It's not complete. It isn't at the beginning and it isn't at the end. It's in the process. And last week I looked at the clay must be removed. It has to be removed from the riverbank. It has to go out and get it and bring it back to his house and do the work on it. But then it has to be refined, it has to be cleansed, and it has to get the consistency right. Tonight I want to look at this thought, the clay must be reformed. And I say that because of this. Once the potter gets his first initial work done, once he gets the clay and forms the lump, and as I mentioned last week, he pours the water through and cleanses out the dirt and the debris, and he beats it down, and he puts it back up, and he beats it back down, and he puts it back up, and he flattens it back out. Then that's just one big glob. So the first thing in this process of forming a vessel is that clay has to be reformed. It has to be brought to the shape that he wants it to be. I mean, you can't make a bowl out of a glob. You can't use a glob of clay as a picture, as a jar, as a bowl. That clay has to be reformed. It has to be reshaped. And to begin with, it certainly doesn't look like a vessel at all. I mean, it's a glob. It's a flat, fat glob. Please, no preacher jokes along with that thought. But it's just a glob. It's just a, I mean, if somebody walked by that didn't know what the potter was about to do, he'd say, what in the world's that mess? What are you going to do with that glob? That's worthless. Why don't you just throw it away? It's useless. There's no value there. But the potter sees something that the untrained eye does not see. In fact, I want to say this tonight. The work that he does on the clay, the forming and making of the vessel, has more to do with the potter than it does the clay. The focus is certainly directed toward the clay because that's a part of the process, that's a part of the work. But the real emphasis, even in these verses, is in what the potter's doing. It is a work of the potter. The clay is merely that device or tool or that item, that aspect that the potter is working on. I mean, it's the potter's choice as he goes out and finds the clay, and it's the potter's work that we see him doing, and that's exactly what the Bible says. the Lord came and got us out of our sin. He came and sought us out. And now we are His workmanship. Now He is working on us. It's the potter that's the emphasis. The clay is just the benefactor. And so it is in this picture that we find here in Jeremiah. The potter is the one who should always get the emphasis. And certainly when that vessel is complete, as I think I suggested last week, that person or that, I'll say it this way, that receives the glory is not the vessel, but the potter. The beautiful picture, it's beautiful, but the artist is the one that gets the glory and the credit. And so it should be with the potter and the clay. So it should be in our lives, not that we get any glory, but that He gets all the glory. He's the one that's worthy. Notice in verse 4 again, "And the vessel that He made of the clay was marred." Now, will you notice how that's worded? It says, "And the vessel that He made of the clay was marred." We'll get into that further later. But will you notice how that's worded? That clay is called a vessel before it is a vessel. It is called a vessel before it even becomes a vessel or before it is a vessel. And the reason is that is because the potter in his mind, he already sees the vessel. He sees what he's making. He knew what he was going to make when he went down to the riverbank to get the clay. He knew he had in mind what he was going to do before he ever started the work on the wheel. Before the clay ever touched the wheel, the potter had a plan in mind. So this reforming of the clay deals with the potter's plan. A long time before it ever was a vessel, it was called a vessel because the potter knew it was going to be a vessel. Did you get that? Oh, what a wonderful delight to know that we're in the middle of something that God has planned. God has a plan, and He is right now initiating. He is working that plan to His glory, to please Him. And that's exactly what we're going to find out in just a minute. It's called a vessel before it is a vessel, because in the potter's mind, it already was a vessel. He saw the jar before there was a jar. He saw the bowl before he ever completed the bowl. He saw the picture before the picture ever was a reality. He had a plan, and He's working that plan. That's how God is. God does not do anything haphazardly. He does not throw anything together at the last minute. He has a plan. That's the way God is. He's an organized God. Psalm 104, verse 5 says, "Who laid the foundations of the earth." Who laid the foundations of the earth, listen, "that it should not be removed forever." It says there that God laid the foundations of the earth. It's talking about as God created the universe, as God created the earth and everything else, He created it thusly. He created it with a plan. And it says there that when He laid the foundations of the earth, that word foundation means an established place. An established place. What that means is God had a plan and He did His plan. In other words, He had a place for everything. Neat freaks want everything in its place. There's the drawer that the knife goes in, and that knife better be there. There's a place in the closet for the broom, and it has to hang in the closet just right. Well, that's sort of the way it is with God. He has a plan, And there's a place for everything. That word again means an established place. It means that God didn't just throw things together and just sort of however it fell together, that's okay. Well, that's not exactly what I had in mind, but that's all right. No, that's not what God did. That's not how God is. He fixed a place. Here's what I'm saying. He fixed a place to put something even before He made it. Now, isn't that nice? That's how God is. He doesn't do things haphazardly. He doesn't just throw things together without a plan. Even as God was creating the universe, here's my point, He didn't make anything until He had already made what that He was about to make could survive. Let me give you an example. Every living thing on earth needs light to survive. Without light, there is no life. God, knowing that, created light first. Before He created anything that would need light, He created light because He knew that which He's about to create would need light. Do you understand? Before He made anything, He made what it would need. God does everything with a plan. And before He made anything, even in His creation work, He made sure that everything that that thing would need to survive was already provided. We're talking tonight about the potter knows the clay. The clay must be reformed. The clay being reformed deals with the potter's plan. The potter sees the jar before there is a jar. It's called a vessel before it even is a vessel, because he has a plan and he's working that plan. And that's the message that Jeremiah gets. That's the message Jeremiah is to receive. That God had a plan for Israel. And he was working that plan like the potter does the clay on the wheel. And so it is with us. Our potter has a plan. Our potter has a plan. He has a plan for this church. He has a plan for what True Gospel is to be. He has a plan of what he wants this church to become. And whether we see it or not, he is right now working on the clay of this church, molding and making and even, yes, reforming and reshaping. Sometimes he has to beat us down. Sometimes he has to push us up. Sometimes he has to push. Sometimes he has to pull. But he reforms, he works, he shapes, because he knows if the vessel is to effort to become a reality, there's got to be a plan. God has that same plan for your life as an individual. What does God want from you? What does God want to do in you? What is God's plan for you as an individual? If you're saved, He has one. Do you know it? Do you know what God wants? Do you know what God's attempting to do? The clay being reformed deals with the potter's plan. That potter saw the vessel even before it was a vessel because he had a plan. He saw what it was going to become and he's in the process of making it. What is God doing in your life? What's He trying to do? What plans He trying to initiate? Do you know what the potter has in mind for you? Can you say right now, yes, I know? Now, there's no doubt life unfolds. And none of us here know where we're going to be in a year. We don't know where we're going to be tomorrow, really. And life is, if you will, a surprise. A new day every day. But God also has a plan, and He's working that plan in our lives. Part of that plan, He has equipped us. You see, a vessel is clay that's been molded and made to where it can be used as a vessel. God is working in our lives in an attempt to use us, to make us usable, to make us a vessel unto honor. And part of that process in my life and yours as Christians is that He gives us certain spiritual gifts or abilities. Gifts like faith and helps and discernments and teaching and giving and exhortation. He has given us these gifts that we might be a vessel that He can use. He's working, He's molding, He's reforming, He's pushing together, He's working it out according to His plan. The potter puts a handle on a jar, not just because he likes handles, but the jar, in order to be used, needs a handle. The potter puts the spout on the pitcher, not just because he really thinks it's pretty and just adds a certain pizzazz to the pitcher. No, in order for that pitcher to be used, it needs a spout. God equips us and God molds us and God works in us because He has a plan and He wants to use us. And that's why He's made us as He has. That's why He's doing what He's doing. Every step along the way is the potter carrying out His plan to reach the final product, to reach sin, to make the vessel. This reforming of the clay deals with the potter's plan. Look in verse 4, the last part. So He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. As seemed good to the potter. Seemed means to please. In other words, He did what pleased Him. Good means exactly what we think it would be. It means esteemed right. You know what that means? The potter did what he wanted to do because he knew it was right. He's working on this clay to form a vessel. But is that the end of the story? Well, no. He's forming that vessel that the vessel might be used. He's not just forming the vessel because he likes vessels. He's not just making a jar because he really does like jars. He's making a jar that the jar might be used. He's making a vessel that the vessel might be used. In other words, there's a purpose to what he's doing. So this reforming of the clay not only deals with the potter's plan, but it deals with the potter's purpose. He not only knows what he's making, he knows why he's making it. There's a purpose. There's a reason. He makes this jar, again, not just because he likes jars, but he thinks this jar would work well down at my well. This jar really is needed down at my well. When people come and they're hot and tired and the water's there, they need something to get it up with. They need something to pour it out in their vessels. This jar would be good to go down to my well. There's a purpose involved. Every vessel he makes, there's a reason. There's a purpose. He says, I make this bowl. Oh, I could use it at my table. I could serve my vegetables. He's doing it for a purpose. There's a reason. And everything he does, he's doing it on that clay because there's a purpose. There's a certain task involved. There's something. He does it that something might be accomplished. This jar will satisfy the thirst of somebody one day. This bowl will feed somebody who's hungry. There's a purpose. There's a reason. He's making it to be used. And that's what he's trying to do with us. He's molding us and making us that we might be useful. You know that God wants to use you to be a help to somebody. Do you know that God wants to use you that this church might be helped by you? You know that God wants to use you that somebody might know the Bible better just because of something you've shared with them or something you taught in the class. God not only just forms us to make us into something pretty and nice, but He wants to use us. There's a purpose. There's a reason. There's an end to all this process. There's a purpose. He has that goal in mind. I'd like to say tonight that God is not a collector. You know what a collector is, don't you? A collector is somebody who goes and buys something brand new. They go and buy that item is brand new and they take it straight home and they put it on the shelf. They don't open it. They don't take it out. They don't play with it or mess with it or use it because it's a part of their collection. And they watch it, they look at it, and they talk about it. Somebody comes over, they point toward it and say, "Oh, no, 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 you can't open that box." No, that's what a collector does. God's not a collector. He's not working on us just that He might put us on display, that we might just look good, that we might be visible. There's a purpose. He wants to use us. God's not a collector. I'd like to say He's not an antique dealer. You know what an antique dealer is, don't you? They're the people who go around and find old stuff. Some of it's still pretty good. Some of it ain't worth throwing away. But since it's an antique, they say it's an antique. It's very valuable, at least they say. So they get it to their store, and they sell it to people. And those people take it and put it in their house, and they say, "We're using this." But that ain't so. That antique cabinet, you go and open one of the doors, "Oh, no, 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 don't open that. Now, we're using it, but don't touch it." No. It's on display. It's all it is. It's just on display. God doesn't make something just to display it. He's making it to be used. Some of you ladies like this. God's not a collector and He's not an antique dealer. You know what I think He is? He's like the man that runs the Goodwill store. I just got some interest. Somebody really, two or three of you really perked up right then. The Goodwill store is where people bring their items. A lot of it is still really good. A lot of it's brand new. But they didn't like the color or didn't fit just right. Or their ex-mother-in-law gave it to them and they ain't going to have nothing around the house from that old biddy. So they give it to the Goodwill store. And the people who go to the Goodwill store ain't going to find anything to display or show off. They're going to find something to use. And they buy from the man at the Goodwill store and get something that they can use. And that's kind of what God's like. He uses that most people think is worthless. He uses that thing that most people would say, "I don't want it, not interested, no good, not what I want." But the potter, our God, uses us not to put us on show, not to display us, but that we might be used. That we might be used. Now, in the process of being used, you may get dinged up a little bit, but that's just a part of the process. That's just a part of life. The potter takes that which most people think that is useless, a lump of clay, a pile of dirt, a pile of mud, and makes something that can be used, something that's worthwhile. This work of reforming the clay deals with the potter's plan and the potter's purpose. Look back in verse 3. "Then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work." He wrought a work. Will you understand with me? He is in the process of doing something. That tells me this process is not quick. It is not something that's fast. It is not something that happens quickly and is over. So can I say it like this? It takes time to make a vessel. From the mud pile of the riverbank to a vessel that can be used, it takes time. So I say it like this. This clay being reformed deals with the potter's plan, purpose, and patience. The potter has patience enough to work through the process. Even when the clay resists, he didn't give up immediately. He has the patience required. Not like going to Walmart, buying that new item, tearing it out of the bag, fussing whoever made that hard plastic, finally getting the scissor, cutting it off, taking it out, and start using it. No, it's not something quick like that. An earthen vessel takes some time, takes some patience. It doesn't happen quickly. But listen, our potter's not in a hurry. One of the most amazing things about God is He's patient. He does not get in a hurry when it talks about working on His people. It took Him, listen, He worked on Moses for 40 years in the desert. He took Joseph from the pit to the palace, to the prison, to the palace. Because He's going to have to use Joseph. And He worked on Moses for over 40 years, really 80 years, because He's going to use Moses. He has patience. He doesn't mind investing the time. And the Lord seems like it takes Him a long time to make anything good out of us. Brother James Grant has said it so often, I'll say it again. About the time you learn how to live, it's time to die. But in the process of this work, we're living and we're doing and we're obeying and God's using us. But there's still something involved with this process. It takes time. And our cry should be, oh Lord, do a thorough job on me. Don't stop, even if I whine. Even if I say, oh God, I don't understand, you're killing me, it hurts. God, do a thorough job in me. Because if I'm going to be the vessel you want me to be, if I'm going to be a vessel that will bring honor to you, you cannot give up. You cannot stop. You can't quit. Be patient, Lord. Do that needs to be done. And don't quit early. It's going to hurt, but it'll be worth it. Look back in verse 4 and I'll be done. And the vessel he made of the clay was marred. Notice, and the vessel that he made. Who's doing the work? Who's in charge of the process? Who's responsible for the finished product? Is the clay in the very least responsible? No. The potter's the one that does the work. It depends on the ability of the potter. It depends on the knowledge of the potter. It depends on the skill of the potter. It depends on the work of the potter. This work of reforming the clay deals with the potter's plan, purpose, patience. It deals with the potter's power. He's the one that works. He's the one that accomplishes it. He's the one that makes the vessel. He's the one that forms the clay. It's not the clay's responsibility. It's not the clay that has to mold itself and shape itself and move itself and become the vessel. No, the potter's doing that. Again, we're his workmanship. He's working on us. Whatever it takes to make the vessel, he has that ability. Whatever he wants that vessel to become, whatever he wants that clay to become, he has the ability and the know-how and the ability to do it. He can take that old, hard mud and mold it and make it into a vessel that can be used. Do you understand that your potter is able to make you what you need to be, to help you with your issues, to help us with our problems, to get by those things we struggle with, to help us with our inferiority, to help us with our weakness, to help us with our fear, to help us with our pride, to help us with our insecurities, to help us with whatever is wrong with the clay. The potter has the power to deal with it. When he's reforming that old hard lump, that glob of goo, it depends on him. If it depends on me or you, we're in trouble. We'll never be a vessel. It'll be used, but it depends on him. Are you what he wants you to be? Are you what he wants you to be? Are you doing what he designed you to do? Are you willing to let him work on you? Are you yielded to his touch? The potter reforms the clay. He finally has it now to where he can start working on it. But it's just a gob. It's just a lump. He starts molding and making. And that's the process we're all in. Saved one day or 100 years, we're in that process. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you for listening. Maybe tonight there's someone that would like to come and say, Lord, you're the potter and I'm the clay. You have a will for my life. You have a plan for me. That plan certainly involves me being used by you. I want to be that vessel. I want my life to count. The altar's open if you need to come. Maybe there's somebody here who's not sure about salvation and you want to come and get it settled.